Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and just two things I wanted to inform you. I got the test tools in for sending emails, the SMTP stuff, and it works. I was sending some emails, so I moved it over to do the other things, and then I started to spend a little time on the user interface, and I think where I'm at is that tomorrow I have some activities. It's not going to be a very productive day. Maybe. We'll see. But I think by Monday, I'm going to go ask several people saying, all right, I'm going to set up an account for you. Basically, you know, very no security, whatnot, but I want, because I want to work on the user interface. And so I think I'm there. It looks like I'm there. Because I played with it today and I was saying, well, you know, because I want to make it where it's, one, it's obvious how to use it, and two, to give the user, you know, it's the idea of give a simple interface, but within that simple interface, have the tools to do whatever you want. Not, I'm going to give you option A, option B, and option C, and that's it. If you want to do something your own way, it's the cooking analogy, I think, is great. Because I understand, and you know, the idea of here's a box you buy at the store. These are the instructions. You may add some additional ingredients to prepare a particular meal. I don't do that. I buy raw ingredients, and I put it together the way I want it. You know, I buy various spices. I'm getting better at spices. and put together things the way I want. You know, the gentleman today delivered, you know, I buy meat in bulk. And I got a bunch of meat delivered today. So, and I look at the meat and I say, what do I want to do with it? I'm going to make it this way, that way, or the other. It's, you know, my smoothies, you know, they're constantly different because I don't follow a formula or instructions somebody gives me that you have to do it this way to make this meal. So in the same way, I want to give the tools to the end user to say, okay, I want to do it my way. I want to do things, and you're giving me the basic tools. And so with those basic tools, I can, you know, if I'm the person who wants to be led by the hand, the best thing I can handle is Twitter. Well, I want to give it to the person who is of modest ability, wants to use it. That's my objective. It's kind of like somebody of modest ability but wants to follow Christ. It's basically the same thing. So I'm encouraged that, you know, it's working. I'm going to play a little bit more with user interface, and then I think Monday I'll ask people, can I set up an account for you? Besides Alice at Chauffeur Nexus, Bob at Chauffeur Nexus, and Charles at Chauffeur Nexus. They're actually set up a long time ago. It got delayed. But one other thing. I've had an interaction with a gentleman for actually years. And I would suggest that he is more of the, we don't do anything aggressive kind of thing. The initial impression we had, Chris and I had, because the three of us have been together, was that when, and I think it was Chris that actually brought it up, he made a pro-life statement. And that made him back off. And I see, because I think there are different perspectives. There is, I am pro-life and I'm imposing. I am pro-life and I'm proclaiming, which is what I would suggest is where I'm at right now. Or I may or may not be pro-life, but I don't want to touch it because I think there are more important issues. You know, there's that perspective. Or I simply don't want to cause controversy. Or I may not even be pro-life. So I don't know where it is, but that was the first issue that noticed there's a problem. And there was a, but there was an interaction recently related to, well, it wasn't on that, but because of a comment I made, I brought up, for example, the thing about the interaction. Well, the interaction. my comment on David Toulis' article. He said he was going to call me, and that was 2 days ago. But anyway, but in the process, I wrote to this gentleman, and I've actually copied that this part of the email to several others, because there's an underlying issue here that I'm really struggling with. So I'm just going to read it. At least as I said, forgive me, as I stand corrected, that you have previously stated some clarity on different opinions. However, it is the opinion issue that concerns me. I recently studied the word glory, or in Greek, doxa, which is the foundation of things like doxology. It is rightly translated as glory, but also more fundamentally, opinion, judgment, or view. What is glorious is the Lord's judgment. As the older email states, we can have a different opinion on apples and oranges, but we should be in the same mind when it comes to obedience to Christ. How do we know what is obedience to Christ? Perhaps we challenge each other and then examine the scripture daily to see if these things are so. Acts 17. You know, one of the issues I've been struggling with a long time is the challenge idea. And well, and I state it here in a bit. I really do wonder if that's exactly what Leviticus 19:17 is commanding us. Anyway, I have a good friend in Chattanooga, David Toulis, who is a radio host and active in many areas that I have been, such as abortion, black-white relations, and payday loans. Some of what he advocates today, I also did, but I contend I have matured as a follower of Christ. An obvious example is I was an active part of a pregnancy care center for over a decade, and I still celebrate that time. However, I was also active politically in the arena and have repented from that. Today, I will contend from Scripture that abortion is murder and don't outlaw it. I'd be happy to expand to that, but this is not our point at the moment. You know, I would like to engage somebody seriously on that, because as I, you know, reviewed this, I really believe that's a rational statement of what the Bible says. Abortion is murder, but we're not called to outlaw it. The Lord already did, is the reason. but that's, you know, again, a longer thing, but anyway. David recently wrote an article, Should We Defend the Weak? Sue Wicked to Defend God's Law, Good Things in Man's Law. And I have it on my website. Anyway, the point of this is what I have done is challenge a brother to express that he is doing things that I once did, but have found not to be consistent with following Christ. It is what I desire others to do for me. Where I go astray, I want to be corrected by a brother. James 5:19 comes to mind. Even more, Galatians 2:14 and the related joyful 2 Peter 3:15. The James passage is he who corrects a sinner going. All right. It's. You know, I didn't put my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. There's a lot of issues on that, but I do think there's that the fundamental idea is you're going astray. Let me pull you back. And I don't want to be left alone, go off into some direction where I am dead wrong. I am just spitting in the face of the Lord, and people around me say, well, either there's no hope for him, give up, or I just don't want to offend him. No, I want to be offended because I don't want to offend my Creator. I want to know the truth. You know, the great thing I have with my brother Chris is he will speak honestly with me. I need that. Anyway, when I turned 62, which is now over 5 years ago, I did a video, Obedience to Christ or Social Security. Obviously, it is a concern for those who receive payments, as I set the case before them, that they are beneficiaries of theft. Some could argue that I'm expressing my opinion, and since they don't like it, we can agree to disagree. If I was in the habit of killing people, would you call me out on it? Is theft no less of an issue? Does the James 5:19 and Galatians 2:14 verses apply? Do the James? Anyway, I actually had that correct. I said it wrong. Is it an act of love to contend for the truth, or is it better to leave a brother in sin? Leviticus 19:17 comes back to mind, which is obviously what I mentioned. You know, I really think that you know, because I thought about it, if I had this terrible habit of, you know, it's Thursday, I think I'll go find somebody in the street and kill them. Just, you know, it's my habit every Thursday, whatever. Would you say, well, you know, maybe you should stop doing that? Obviously, that's absurd. But if somebody was doing that kind of sin, would you contend with them and say, you know, this is not a good idea? So in the same way, if someone is doing theft, would you contend with them? You know, we're stopping at a convenience store here. Let me go in and I'm going to rob it quick. You know, that kind of thing. Would you say, well, no, this is not a good idea? If you're taking Social Security, you're a thief. Plain and simple. And, I've done 3 videos on that already. And that's why, you know, the point of when I turned 62, because I said at that point I did qualify for early retirement. I got a letter from the government when I was 61 saying and then of course when I turned 65, I became official for full retirement, and I now have 2 years of history saying no, I will not steal. But great, I don't do that. But where am I doing things? Maybe as bad, maybe worse, maybe just not as bad. A brother, I think, would help me know where I'm going astray. It's an act of love. Again, I think that's why you see that in the verse before we get, love your neighbor as yourself. But anyway, my Shofar Leaks project has been funded for 6 months. I did a video on the site, Modern Day Slavery, From Cocoa to Sex, Offering a Fighting Chance for Some. This is not light duty stuff, and since the video, I've had contact with 3 applicable parties. But as the video suggests, should I ignore those popping an M&M in their mouth, or let them know that they are directly purchasing a product sourced from abject slave labor and manufactured 2 miles from my home? Is it too trivial of an issue, or is it vital? What does love do? You know, I really think the M&M thing is a great example. Because, well, okay, let me just finish. I'm not trying to make enemies, but rather love those little black kids harvesting cocoa, the whistleblower who makes a lot of mistakes himself, and the sex slave down the street. I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm not dead yet, so I must love well. I really wonder. I because as a little kid, you know, into my 20s, it was kind of like we had the choice of plain M&Ms and peanut M&Ms, and you know, I was the peanut guy. And it was kind of like, why not? Well, you know, now, obviously there's the health issue. I mean, it is not a healthy product for a variety of reasons, because it's not the cocoa, it's the sugar. And the other things that are involved, the various chemicals and whatnot. But, and of course, the Mars, the company, boy, are they feminists. Because again, I've gone to their YouTube channel and wow. Anyway, But just the slavery issue alone. Again, there was that group of, what, four or six guys from the Ivory Coast who were slaves. They became part of a class action lawsuit, and Mars was one of the defendants, but the Supreme Court threw it out because it was happening in another country, which I think makes sense, as I've stated before. However, I know it's happening. Therefore, I have the choice to whether or not I will buy an M&M. If the health issue wasn't a problem, the feminism wasn't a problem, it was just the slavery alone, I have to make the choice to say, I don't care. These people are, you know, most of them, you know, young kids, early adults is the typical range, apparently. And we're talking like 1.5 million. We're talking a large population. And they are, they're providing the cocoa. And again, there's this one particular girl. She's the one on my, because I did the enslaver video 2-3 years ago. Andropodistase, which is literally to put somebody under your feet, the enslaver. And I use this picture of this girl because of all, you know, I've seen so many of these people, but she caught my eye. I don't know why. She caught my eye. So it's the kind of thing of, I popped an M&M in my mouth, her image would be in my mind. I can't do that. I simply can't do that. In the same way, I thought of another idea. I'm pro-life, rah, rah. I have a bumper sticker on the back of my car. We vote pro-life, outlaw Planned Parenthood or whatever, you know, some kind of pro-life statement. Rah, rah. It's on my bumper sticker on the back of the car. And you can see it while I'm waiting in the drive-through line at Starbucks. I'm a hypocrite if I did that. Fortunately, I don't have a car. But if you're pro-life and want to outlaw abortion by going to the state and say, make this illegal, don't fund Planned Parenthood, you're trying to impose on others. If you go to Starbucks to get that coffee, you are funding abortion. Because they specifically stated, once Roe was overturned, they will pay their employees to go across state lines for those employees who are in states that prohibit abortion to get an abortion. If you buy a Starbucks product, you are promoting, you're funding abortion. You're a hypocrite if you say you're also pro-life. That, I believe, is the way we need to proclaim, because at that point, it's a proclamation, not an imposition. If I go try to outlaw, I'm imposing. If I proclaim, you bought that, you're about to eat that M&M, you're endorsing, you are funding slave labor. You're at that drive-thru at Starbucks, you're funding abortion. Or you're like what I used to be, enjoying that Perrier. You're funding a company that enslaves little kids. And that's why I haven't had a Perrier in like 8 years. Once I connected the dots, I will claim, and I think this is right, and I'm trying to mature on this, and obviously this is why I try to contend with others, because I want to know if I'm right or wrong. I believe our call as followers of Christ is not to try to outlaw things, but to proclaim. And my proclamation is, don't use things from abject slave labor. In other words, don't buy a Nestle product or Mars product or Hershey's product or I think it's Cadbury also. And anyway, there are others. There's a whole bunch of sites that compile this information. Nestle is a big one because they're the world's largest food company. And I won't go there. I won't use their products knowingly. You know, that's one of the reasons why the gentleman that came by today delivered my meat, because I'm eating his cow. Literally. I mean, this is the third or fourth time I've bought from him. It's the second time he's delivered. Other times I actually bought it at the farmer's market. But I try to buy my food local from the person who grows it, raises it, and so forth, rather than from Walmart or Starbucks or Nestle. I believe that's what we need to do. We need to proclaim. Don't do this because you're a hypocrite. And I'm struggling to know, you know, better ways to say this and so forth. That's why when I try to contend with David Tullis, I state specifically, David Tullis is my brother. There's no question in my mind that, oh, well, we don't see eye to eye in that. You're going to hell because of it. Not at all. I believe David Tullis is someone like me struggling to know Christ, to be obedient to him. And I would suggest he's far more aggressive in doing that than most people I know. He's doing things very akin to what I used to do. A different flavor, obviously, because he's the radio host. He was worked for the Times Free Press here in Chattanooga many years ago. So he uses a different route, but doing the same objective, imposing. That's what I did. And I really believe what I needed long ago was somebody to say, not that you're the wrong person, but this is something you shouldn't do. That's the thing that's so important. It's not that, well, I don't think you're qualified, or, well, you know, maybe you need to soften this, soften that, because you can get a little ahead and whatnot. None of that. It's not the right thing to do in obedience to Christ. And if I'm wrong, I need others who, with all patience, will correct me. If I'm right, I pray especially for those for others to proclaim also the same in their way to the people they meet, the people they interact with, and to encourage each other. Anyway, this is a really big deal. I've engaged three people on this today. Took a lot of time in my morning. Anyway, so enough of that. I remain a pro-life activist, but not by trying to outlaw abortion, by telling you, if you're pro-life, driving through Starbucks, or buying from Amazon, you're a hypocrite. And that's the issue with when those companies become so big, they become a sole provider for something. That's why there needs to be a conscious effort, which is clearly on my part, to avoid the big corporation and do, you know, it's, you know, there was a guy who said, love your neighbor, buy local. Yeah, you can find that at shofarcity.com. I wonder who said that. Because if you let the big corporation take it and you get a cheaper price, They own you. This is the technique that Walmart uses. This is the technique that Amazon uses. This is the technique Google uses, in the sense that they have the monopoly practices of giving stuff away free, so they own you because you're the product. Same thing. And got to encourage people. No, I'm sorry. And, you know, even on the Social Security thing, am I wrong? Again, the simple idea, if I hire a thug to steal your car, does that give you the right to steal somebody else's car? Hire the same thug to steal somebody else's car, because that is the exact analogy of what Social Security is. And again, the Social Security system implemented by a government that never lies to you, right? Because they told you officially when they started the system, you'll never pay more than 3%. Oh, well, they had to adjust that, didn't they? And of course, what is the fundamental objective there? Destroy the family. It breaks down the multi-generational relationships. Turns your allegiance towards the state. And what happens when you put the system in place and you want to adjust it? You end up with these massive protests like we're having in Paris or in France. Well, the big one is in Paris, where you literally have, I think they peaked over 1 million people on one of the weekends, protesting changing the retirement age from 62 to 64. Because they got you. And now you're going to want to fight for the control they have over you, because it's been instilled in the culture. It's instilled in the culture. After all, I paid in it. I need to get my fair share. You're a thief, because you're not getting from the people. You're not getting back what you put in. You're stealing from the next generation. You're a thief. Unambiguously, you are a thief. And the people behind it, fundamental goal, destroy the family. Destroy the family. Where have I seen this happen? Oh, yes. My lady, my wife. I'm your husband, trying to restore a family. Even though it's been over 10 years, I'm not giving up. Again, the postcards, the website, unmitigated hope. I'm not giving up. My lady, I love you and I want you back.